Good morning, church. It's good to be here on a Sunday morning, and well, we are in the month of December already. Time flies, right? And I think the end of the year means different ones, means different things to different ones. And I'm really excited with our Christmas weekend services. That's going to happen. I know the team has been practicing, the kids has been practicing, and it's going to be a great time coming together, celebrating, remembering the reason for Christmas. And I want to encourage us that it is really a great time to be inviting our unchurched neighbor and friends and family members and colleagues. And there are really four different slots available for you to bring your friends. And I remember speaking to one person just about 2 weeks ago, and he was back here for a trip, and I was able to invite his whole family coming for our Sunday 9 a.m. Mandarin slot. Okay, so I want to encourage you to maybe take this time to think and to pray the names, the people that God has put in your heart, so that we can be a blessing to the different ones during this season. Amen? So I'm excited. As we kickstart this series called God With Us, say God With Us. Say it again, God With Us. And I think as we hit year end, we may have different feeling or emotion, right? Some of us, you are working, you are clearing your leaves. Schools are hitting their holidays towards the third and fourth week. Some of you are on holidays already. Sometimes year end means lots of gatherings, a lot of parties, a lot of eating. But sometimes you feel that, especially on the weekend, traffic, it's a little bit heavier, right? So we may have our various reason for the season, but this series helps us to remember the reason, okay? The reason for the season, which is as we celebrate, as we remember the birth of Jesus Christ and what that means to us. I think in my opinion, the best verse to kind of capture the essence of God with us, or the essence of Christmas, is really found in this verse in Isaiah. Isaiah is an Old Testament prophet. And he spoke of this as a word of encouragement to the king of Judah at that time, which is King Ahaz. And this was spoken 700 years before the fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. So Isaiah, potentially, he had don't really know that he was prophesying over this Messiah, but he was speaking to the nation. He was speaking to the king, Ahaz, at that time, not knowing that it was also a prophetic, a prophecy that speaks about the coming of the Messiah. Okay, so let me just read. He says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Say the word Emmanuel. Now, there is power in a name. So this verse speaks about how this person, this son, shall be called Emmanuel. There is power in a name. Just for fun, in 2016 in Australia, this is a true story. There was a couple who had a daughter, and they were thinking of the name to be the name to give the daughter. And the husband proposed the name called Lanestra. Okay? And the wife thought it was unique. The wife thought it was romantic. So they agreed on this name. And 2 years down the road, as the baby grows, the husband finally revealed the name, or the meaning behind the name that he proposed to the wife. And as he revealed the name, he revealed that the name Lanestra is actually his favorite football team, Arsenal, spelled backwards. Okay, true story. True story. What a beautiful name, okay? What a beautiful name. Now, the word, the name Emmanuel, thankfully, God did not give a very cryptic, we have to kind of decipher what's the meaning behind this name. We have to crack the code. When God, Isaiah gave this name, Emmanuel, it's directly telling us that God is with us. God with us. It's a direct meaning. So we didn't have to guess. We didn't have to kind of look at it backwards or whatnot. But God wants to communicate that. And it's true, right? Historically, God is always with us from creation. It speaks about how God walked with us. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden all throughout the Old Testament. God is always with the nation of Israel, right? God is always constantly affirming them that I am with you, right? And as they traveled through the desert, it was God was with them with a pillar of cloud and also a fire by night as well. God is constantly with His people. Jesus is always with us. We hear Him saying, "Surely I will be with you always." And Jesus, before He ascended to heaven, He gave us the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit will always be with us and be in us and dwell with us. So consistently, this theme, this concept of God with us is really the heartbeat of who God is. The power in a name. Now let's take a look at the background of the verse when Isaiah spoke that verse. Now, Israel, or rather Judah, which is the southern kingdom of Israel, was not doing well, okay? Basically, the king, Ahaz, was a wicked king. He was a wicked king. He was worshipping idols. He led the nation of Israel towards idolatry. He was wicked. And because of that, God has basically allowed the enemies, the nations surrounding them, to threaten them, to kind of oppress them and wage war against them. So it was a dark times for Judah. So let me just read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1. He says, "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz," which is the king, "the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah," which is the southern kingdom of Israel, "that Rezin, king of Syria," which is a neighboring nation, "and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel," which is the northern part of Israel, "went up to Jerusalem and make war against it, but they could not prevail against it." So even though there was war going on, Judah was not defeated, but they were greatly weakened. As you read the scriptures, it speaks about there were many people were killed, many, many lives were lost, so it was greatly weakened. "And it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim. So his heart and the heart of the people were moved as the trees of the woods were moved with the wind." In other words, they were in fear. They were constantly living in fear, for fear of the enemies attacking them, for fears of the pressure and the oppression of their neighboring country. So it was a time of pressure. It was the time of fear. It was a time of great, great uncertainty when Isaiah chose to speak that word of comfort and encouragement that speaks about that God is with you. Now today we also live in a time whereby it is a time of pressure for many of us, a time of fear, a time of uncertainty. Just like last week, I was having lunch with a business owner. He came out and he started his business, and he asked me, "Pastor, would you pray for me? It wasn't going as well as I expected it to be, and I am under pressure." We know of people that is going through health challenges, right? Some minor, but some very complicated, very major health challenges. So we're living in a time of full of pressure, full of fear, full of challenges. I also recently come to know of this person that I know who was helping her relatives, and this relatives of hers was in the late teens, and he saw in Facebook advertisements of making easy money by working. Okay, so he got connected to this guy and they chatted, and all he needed to do to earn money was to open up 3 bank accounts under his name and to turn over those controls that got turn over the online access, turn over the PIN, turn over the debit card to this person, and immediately 5,000 is being banked into the 3 accounts. And they will show him that. And he happily get the money, and he was happy, and weeks gone by and months go by. A lot of you will know where this is getting at. But before you know it, there are people at his door angry at him for basically scamming them of their money using this bank account of this late teens. And they were using their bank account to scam God knows how many people. And he was fearful for his life. People were angry. People were showing up at his door. And he had to stay at a relative's house. And they had to clear his name, go to the police station after police station. And this is happening in Klang Valley. So we live in a time that is dark times. Pressure, fear, uncertainty. And different one of us going through different things. And I just want you to know that this whole series, as we remember the season of Christmas, we want to know that God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And two chapters later, Isaiah kind of gave us four expressions of what it means for God to be with us. God with us may be great, it may be, but it's general. But Isaiah gave us here four expressions of what it means for God to be with us. Can we read this verse together? One, two, go. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let me pray. God, we pray. We thank you for this season, that we can be reminded that you are with us. And I pray, God, for some of us, we need your wonderful counsel. For some of us, we need Mighty God to show up in our lives. For some of us, we need the love of our Heavenly Father. For some of us, we need the peace from God so that we can overcome the different challenges that we have in our lives. We thank you that you are with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you think about it, all these four expressions, whatever situation that you are going through right now, no matter how difficult or how dark it is, one or two of these four expressions will be what we need for God to be with us. If we are feeling constantly anxious and constantly pressure, we need the peace of God. If we are going through certain health challenges, certain financial challenges, we need Almighty God to have a breakthrough, to create a miracle for us. So today, even as we kickstart, we want to kind of talk about what does it mean when God is our wonderful counselor. Now, the word wonderful here, it's not our version of wonderful. It is not, oh, I had a wonderful lunch. I had this wonderful dessert. The coffee was wonderful. We watched a nice movie, or the movie was wonderful. It is a very different level of wonderful. And the word counselor as well. Today, we seek counsel from everywhere, right? We seek counsel from online. We seek counsel from AI. We seek counsel from professional counselors. We seek counsel from friends. We seek counsel from social media as well, right? So we will put into the social media, anyone has anything to recommend, maybe a vacuum cleaner, or which, you know, we ask for whatever counsel from whatever sources that we can find. But this wonderful counselor is a different level of wonderful counsel that God wants to be with us. So while preparing for this message, I ask each of my children, okay, I will say, what is the most wonderful advice that mom has given you? Okay, I ask all of them. The elder two say, don't know, too many, don't know, don't know, don't know. Okay, the younger one, 7 years old, Joash, she says, don't know, don't know. But Faith, okay, so she gave. She says, the most wonderful advice that mom has ever given, she says, is God is with me. So I says, wow, okay, great. Then I was curious, I says, what about that? Okay, so I think if mom's advice is so good, maybe mine is, you know. I said, what about dad's best advice for you? And she told me, your best advice, go to sleep early. All right, so anyways. So you can see that mom's advice is a higher level than dad's advice. But how much more God's level of wonderful advice is out of this world, and it came from this Hebrew word down there. I'm not even gonna try to pronounce it, but it simply means it is a miraculous, incomprehensible, extraordinary, beyond human understanding kind of wonderful, providing wisdom and guidance that is divine in nature. Okay, that is the God's level kind of wonderful counsel, not our kind of wonderful. It is miraculous. It is beyond human understanding. It is extraordinary, providing wisdom, guidance, direction that is divine in nature. I'm sure sitting here, we all had good counsel from our friends and families before, and that's great. Some of us also, we had our fair share experience of bad advice and bad counsel as well. But this wonderful counselor is God is with us, and He wants to be a wonderful counselor. And the wisdom from God is way above. Okay, the wisdom from above is pure and peace and gentle. It is extraordinary. It's divine. What is the nature of God's counsel for us? Psalms 33 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. Say, stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. You know, some advice is only for a certain period of time. Let's say fashion advice. It's potentially just for a year and a half, 2 years. Maybe business advice. Maybe this trend, business, it's maybe just for 3-5 years because things will change. But the counsel of God stands forever because God knows everything. God knows all things, right? He knows best. Some of you follow Korean drama, right? Some of you, okay? Some of you like say, oh, okay. Korean drama, two key characteristics that I always observe. Usually has to do with time travel, right? And usually the second one is memory loss, okay? So you have either one, it's a Korean drama, right? So time travel, and sometimes you have this movie or series whereby, you know, they are doing badly in their lives, whether their relationship is in a mess, marriage is in a mess, maybe their business is in a mess, relationship, parents, children is in a mess, and suddenly they wake up, they time travel back 20 years ago, and they realize they get to do life all over again. And with that information that they have, how their life choices pan out for them, they get to relive their lives with more wisdom, with more information, with more understanding. And that's great, right? If we are able to relive our lives. Or when I was younger, we used to have these books whereby it's a science fiction books. And as you read, it will tell you that, okay, if you decide to board the spaceship, turn to page 120. If you decide to stay here, turn to page 98. And then you make the decision and you turn to page 120 and you go on. If you decide to wage war against that nation, go to page 180 and whatnot, right? So you get to explore the different choices. And as you read on, you can go back and decide to choose the other way and read on that story as well. But of course, in reality, we cannot do that, right? In reality, we have no way of time travel. In reality, we have no way of knowing certain decisions, life decisions in our life will lead to a certain path. We don't know. Right? We do our best to find out. We do our best to pray. But guess what? We have someone who knows it all. We have someone who not time travel. We have someone who is timeless. We have someone who is in our past, present, and future all at the same time. We have someone who knows our future because He is not bound by time. He knows all things. He is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows best. Why not we consult Him for someone who knows all things and He knows best? Why wouldn't we seek His counsel? Why would God's counsel become the last option after we have consulted everything, after we consulted AI, after we consulted ChatGPT and all this stuff, and God's counsel is our last option? Why not? Since His counsel is the best. Who knows all things, we counsel Him first. Secondly, His counsel, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. The second thing why He is such a wonderful counselor is because He loves us most. Why He is so wonderful? Because He knows it all. He knows best. And number two, He loves us the most. We can trust someone who love us the most. In fact, He loved us that He came in the form of man. He loved us so much that He died for us. We can trust someone who loves us. As a father, I love each and every of my child. So obviously, I would want the best for them. So when they were younger, I would tell them, I would instruct them, right? The instruct them, it speaks about instruction. It speaks about guiding them. I would instruct them, I would guide them with my wisdom, which is higher than, say, a six-year-old. And because I have their best interests, because I love them, therefore, they can trust me. But a lot of times, we want to do things our way. I remember when my eldest son was younger, he used to like to do puzzle. And they would play like a six-piece puzzle, and then they graduate, and then they would do a 10-piece puzzle, and they would do a 20-piece puzzle. And I think he was doing probably 30 piece puzzle. But one day, someone gave us a 250 pieces puzzle. I don't know if it was for Christmas or whatnot. Someone gave us. So it was there. And he saw, as a six-year-old, he saw that puzzle and he wants to do it. Okay. Obviously, he had no idea how a 250 pieces puzzle is way beyond him. So, okay. So I thought, we can do it together. Right? So I opened it up and I pour it. And then I wanted to do it together with him, kind of help him. But guess what? As we were trying to put the pieces of puzzle together, and he did this. Go away, Dad. I can do it on my own. Okay? Because he has been doing confidently the 20 pieces puzzle, and here it is, 250 pieces. He says, I can do it on my own. So guess what did I do? I says, okay, you do it on your own. And I go about doing my stuff. True enough, 10 minutes later, he sounds frustrated. He sounds a bit agitated. 10 minutes later, he comes to me. He says, Dad, can you help me? And I say, go away. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I say, of course, I will come and help you. Right? And we did that puzzle. I don't know whether we complete it, but we did that together. But what I'm saying is that we have the one who knows it all, the one who loves us the most, the wonderful counselor. But a lot of times when it comes to life, we go away, God. I will do it my way. When it comes to relationship, go away. I want to do it my way. When it comes to work and career and handling finance and juggling between family and juggling between life, we go away, God. I can do it my way. And what does God do? God, step aside. Okay, you do it your way. Until we hit dead end, we hit challenges, we hit troubles, and we come before God and say, God, would you help me? And guess what? God did not say, go away. God still come to our rescue. God still come and hear us and bring the encouragement to us and be with us, because He's always there. He always wants to be there for us. And I want to encourage us to, in this season, as we know that God is with us, remember that His wonderful counsel is available for us, that we can lean on, we can glean on. So how do we receive His wonderful counsel? How do we receive His wonderful counsel? Well, we ask. Okay, as simple as ask. James 1:5 is, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who give generously. You know, our God is not a stingy God. Okay, our God is a God of, He is generous. He does not charge us by the hour. He's not calculative. He is generous, and He gave without reproach. And those who ask, it will be given upon Him. So ask God. Ask God humbly. Ask God openly. Ask God with an open heart. Because sometimes we made our own decision, and we ask God, wanting God to approve what we have already decided in our hearts. But I pray that you will ask with open hearts. 1 John, he gives us a little nuances of how we should ask. He says, this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. So the key is, we also want to ask according to His will. We ask according to the Word. We ask according to the character of God. We ask according to the nature of God, so that He will hear us. Okay, so the first one is ask. Number two, after we ask, we trust Him. Right? Jesus says He will give us His Holy Spirit, another helper. And the word helper here, it means counselor, it means advocate, someone who fights for you, to be with you forever. So in other words, if we are a believer of Christ, the Holy Spirit is in us, that we ask and then we can trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Sometimes we want to trust Lord with just a little bit, right? We ask God, God, would you send me your proposal first, Lord? And I want to take a look, and I want to compare with my own plans, and I want to see which is better. Okay, God does not work that way, right? God says, trust me. And many times, God just reveal the next step. God will not reveal His whole plans for us, because we cannot comprehend His plan for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In your ways, acknowledge Him, okay? And He will make your path straight. And the word acknowledge is to really tell God, God, I need you in this season of my life. I remember when I graduated, as I was about to apply jobs outside, as I was preparing my CVs, I was acknowledging God. I was asking God, God, you know, I will be working for a long time as big part of my life. You know, I have finished my college and degree 4 years, and I've primary school, secondary school is 9 years, but I'm going to be working for decades and decades, Lord. God, will you lead me? Would you guide me? Would you give me wisdom? I asked before that CVs were being sent out. And guess what? God led in terms of my ups and downs of my journey of my working life, whether it's full-time, not full-time, corporate, going to studies. And God led the way. When I first had my first child, right, my eldest is 16 years old. These last 2 weeks was a birthday weeks for some of our for my family, my wife, my daughter, my son. But when I held her in the hospital, being a dad for the first time, guess what? Clueless. Okay, regardless of different advice that people give you, different books that you read, but nothing prepares you for parenthood. But guess what? I ask God, I want to be a good parent. I want to be a good steward of this gift that you have given me. Will you give me wisdom? Would you guide me? Would you lead me in my journey of parenthood? And guess what? When we ask, when we trust God, that's what God does. When you ask and you trust Him, He leads, He guides, He counsels. You know, throughout my journey, I want to end with this story. And it is through this work journey that I continue asking and trusting and asking and trusting. Many people ask me about my decision of leaving the corporate world, coming about full-time. It's really a journey of asking and trusting and asking and trusting. It was that journey that after working for 2 years, I went to ministry school in Manila for a year. Coming back, I was working full-time with the church for 2 years. A journey of asking and trusting, asking and trusting. And after that, I went back to the corporate world. We started the Damansara Church. It was also God's counsel that in the midst of that, I was offered a 60% pay increase in my salary package, which I turned it down because it was a regional role that requires me to travel 70% of the time. And I knew that it was not for me. Because we started a church, I had young children, one child and one on the way. And I knew that it wasn't, I was able, because of God's counsel, I was able to turn it down. But at the same time, it was also God's wisdom and counsel that led me to the job that I was working with 14 years before I resigned fully 31st of December last year. It was also God's counsel that in the end of year 2022, there was a prompting from God says that, Sean, next year, 2023, it is time. Is it time for what? It is time. Although I was serving, I was a bivocational pastor, but somehow different factors play a role, right? Whether it is age, whether it's family, whether it is the growth of the church, the demands of the church, all these play a factor. But nevertheless, it was that counsel of God that prompted me, says, Sean, 2023, it is time. Okay, whether it is middle of the year, it doesn't matter. But so for the whole of 2023, it was a transition time for me. I was able to get time off. I was attending our pastoral meeting here every week on Tuesday for the year 2023 mostly, before I fully transit out on 31st of December 2023. Wanting to serve God in a bigger capacity. Again, the journey of asking and trusting, asking and trusting. Of course, little did we know that Pastor Tim was called home with the Lord in April. And I thought back that there is no way that I was able to juggle between the things that I needed to do if I was still working outside in the corporate world. But again, God's wonderful counsel in the midst of all that is happening that we do not understand. Remember, God's counsel is many, many levels beyond us, right? The Bible says that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. That I want to encourage you as you journey your different life challenges, ask and trust. Ask and trust. Why can we trust Him? Because He knows best. He knows all things. And He loves us the most. He loves us the most.